This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome to Spouting Off, my last show of the week, and it's Friday, and it is the beginning of the Labor Day weekend for a lot of people. If you're listening live, if you're listening on the podcast, well, you can listen anytime you want. Isn't it amazing that you can program your own, you can be your own programmer? I got this new TV set, and it can do things I never dreamed a TV could do. I think that's a blessing and a curse, but now you can decide to watch a whole season of something. You can be the programmer. You don't have to depend on NBC, ABC, CBS to tell you what to watch when. I like live radio, live television, and live everything else. I think speaking and communicating in real time instead of programming people and things is better. But it's nice to once in a while be able to watch a whole season of who knows what. I don't watch as much. It's funny. The TVs have gotten better, more incredible, and the programming in many cases has gotten worse. I've ended up watching the oldest programs that I remember either watching as a kid. Because the programming today is, let's just put it this way. It isn't as good as the TVs that it is being broadcast on, my feeling. Maybe I'm just showing my age. I don't really know. But it is the beginning of the weekend. It isn't the weekend yet for me, but it's going to be. And I just feel like I've been drinking from a fire hose, and I think you may have too, with all the news that's been going on. I don't think it's possible at this point to sum anything up, but here's a news item right off the bat. Western Journal, which I have written for in the past and hope to again. Headline, Quid Pro Joe, Biden reportedly offered aid to foreign leader if he lied to the world about Afghanistan crisis. Now, this isn't even brand new news. It's just it cannot be underestimated. Somehow this got leaked. Does that tell you that maybe there are people within Washington who are trying to help the public to and expose what is really going on? I don't know, but let's hope so. So this is a commentary piece out of the Western Journal. And I think it was a transcript. Okay, I'm going to read to you this transcript because I don't have like the audio of it. Hey, look, I want to make it clear. This Biden, the presidential potted plant, is doing as he's told. And he's talking to the then Afghan president, Ashraf Ghani, on a phone call. July 23rd. I want to make it clear, Biden says, that I am not a military man any more than you are, but I have been meeting with our Pentagon folks and our national security people, as you have with ours and yours. And as you know, I need not to tell you the perception around the world and in parts of Afghanistan, I believe, is that you can tell he even talks on the phone. You know, you can hardly understand him with so many words, is that things aren't going well in terms of the fight against the Taliban. And there's a need, whether it is true or not, there is a need to project a different picture. Now, do I believe Joe Biden necessarily came up with that? No. I believe somebody told them to say that to then Afghanistan President Ashraf Ghani. Here's the money line for you. And there's a need, whether it's true or not, there's a need to project a different picture. Now, let's just kind of analyze this a little bit further, shall we? So here is a liar. He's only being exposed to being a liar. After all, he is a plagiarist. He was found to be a plagiarist 40 years ago at the beginning of his career. That should have ended his career in a normal setting, but it didn't. Now he's the de facto president of the United States, but he isn't really. So here's a guy deciding or having decided that it is that there's a need not to tell the truth. That is how people justify the unjustifiable, by saying that somehow, because they have a need to lie, it must be good. What an insult to every thinking human being that Donald Trump was impeached even when he left office. Even after he left office, they impeached him, which was showed them to be desperate and ridiculous, and it hasn't worked. It only made Donald Trump stronger, if it even could make him any stronger. He was denied a second term, very likely, I say, very likely, with voter fraud. And they are guilty of everything they accuse Trump of doing. Looking back, I ask you, now can you see why they went after him harder than any president ever? Because he stood in the way of all of this that we are watching right now. He stood in the way of the rolling over to the Taliban. He stood in the way of us being dependent on foreign oil. He stood in the way of the collapse of Western civilization. And I'm not even exaggerating. He stood in their way. It was never about his orange hair. It was never about any of that. It was strictly and purely ideological. And yet they had people, and they still have people, believing that the reason Trump is just so awful, terrible, and horrible is because he's, as one woman put it, well, he's just horrible to women. And I thought, you've bought the narrative hook, line, and sinker, haven't you? What he said, and I don't want to go into it and rehash the old stuff, but I will. What he said about what he could do was taken as if he did do it, and the people that did do it haven't been held accountable for it. Did you follow that? Did you follow that? What he said, I am so famous, I could get away with grabbing somebody's you-know-what, and it would be okay because I'm famous and they want to get near wealth and power and all of that. That's what he was saying. The people who have done that, who have exploited other women, in this case, it's usually women's vulnerabilities or their desperation to get close to power and money. This happens a lot. It happens a whole lot. They were not held accountable for that. And yet there are still our fellow citizens who think Donald Trump is the most horrible man in the history of the universe after he showed the kind of courage. And I didn't agree with him on everything. I hope to God he gets another term, though. But I didn't agree with him on everything. I thought that he went a little nuts on the coronavirus and he helped some of the false narratives continue. He helped some of the false narratives about the vaccine continue, and it's gotten completely off the rails. And in some ways, I guess that's a good thing, so more people can see how off the rails it's gotten. But he was in the position to stop it. In general, I don't see him as a god. He can't be perfect at everything. Although he's been more right, more courageous, more gutsy, more willing to tell the truth, and still is, still out there running rallies, still trying to wise up the public as to what's going on. And you know what? The everyday people are beginning to see what a travesty this is. I think it is very likely, although I do not know, that he won by a landslide and he was robbed of another term. Americans were robbed of their choice as president. And that's what happens in communist regimes. It's not as if this is, outrageous. In the absence of the kind of evidence that we're seeing of rampant authoritarianism, totalitarianism, socialism, communism, all of that, in light of what we are watching in every corner of this country, the attempt of the most corrupt, the most ignorant, and the most arrogant people trying to co-opt and force and bully and persecute and intimidate those that don't go along with their preposterous narrative. In the absence of all that, I would say, well, you know, stole the election. We've heard that before. But in fact, we did hear that before. It happened. It is common knowledge that Richard Nixon, who, you know, nowadays, we don't much like the legacy of Richard Nixon, but he was robbed of the presidency in 1960. That is pretty much common knowledge that Momo Giancana out of Chicago brought in the vote for the Democrats, and Nixon thought it was a little too unseemly to fight the vote. But he could have. And you know what? He was wrong then, but anyone who thinks Donald Trump should not fight the vote now and bring out whatever evidence there is, they're not dedicated to the truth. They're just not. They're not dedicated to the truth. So I've got a couple of minutes before the break, and we have another segment. And then let me just tell you who we're going to have on as a guest. About 18 months ago, when this nightmare of the corona, the corona nightmare, not the nightmare of the virus, although it has killed people who've been vulnerable, but the nightmare of what the government did to us using coronavirus as the excuse, people on the front lines were people like restaurant owners. And there was one of the greatest restaurant owners out of Greeley, Colorado, who has stood strong, stood courageous, stood up tall for the longest time. I asked her to come on the radio at the bottom of the hour to give us an update about what's going on in her life and her opinion of what's happened, because sometimes we just don't follow up with people, especially ones that are as great as she is. So her name is Kelly. She owns a mom and pop Mexican restaurant in Weld County, Colorado, and we're going to check in with her after this next segment. If you'd like to join us in this segment, I got room, I got time, I got room for your calls. 1-888-627-6008. It's one, you don't have to dial the one if you're doing a cell phone. 888-627-6008. We're on BBS Radio right now, and we're going to come back on Spouting Off right after this.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Welcome back. Excuse me, I can talk. Welcome back to Spouting Off, the Friday edition here on the BBS Radio Network and on the K-Star Radio Network. Always great to have you. I had a thought, and then maybe I'll bring on our illustrious producer, Doug. And if Don wants to come on the radio, I love them both. They're twins. They run quite an operation at BBS Radio. This is the first show I ever did, you know, of Spouting Off on. So it's basically the flagship station for Spouting Off, which is now expanded to a lot of different stations, a lot of different networks, which is a good thing, and I'm grateful. But first, I just want everyone who listens to me, or anyone who has, knows that I'm not a Christian. I'm a Jew, proud of it, and delighted with Viva la Difference. Viva la Difference, whatever that is. You know, we have our religious differences, and that's perfectly fine, because the joy of living in America is to worship as you see fit and to recognize the joys of religious pluralism. You don't have to accept someone else's belief, but the government can't make a state religion, because our founders wanted the freedom to decide for themselves, and they wanted us to have that freedom too. All of that being said, I say it to preface this. If I were a Christian, I'd be thumping my Bible right now, because I looked up the seven deadly sins. I thought, is this Catholic? Is this Christian? I'm not sure. But I looked up the seven deadly sins, and sure enough, I guess it's Catholic. And I have notes here. It's just that I can't find my notes now on the seven deadly sins. Things like sloth, laziness, pride, greed, arrogance, and I obviously don't have it in front of me, but I was so interested to see. Here it is. Ah, yes. And culture and the deep state continues to elevate and normalize the degradation, the sloth, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, the bigotry, and the blaming of other people, and demeans everything that elevates and respects life and human beings. It gives me no pleasure to say this, but I have to say it. We may not always live up to the principles that we want to live by, either people of faith or people who hold themselves accountable, but those principles are the principles that built America. Those principles are the ones that, even when I was a kid, were elevated as being important. My parents, my family elevated those things. I don't know how much they elevated humility, but the kinds of things I'm talking about are accountability, responsibility. How many parents want to teach their kids irresponsibility? If they're interested in their kids at all, they're interested in responsibility. They're interested in discernment. They want their kid to grow up to be a discerning human being, to be able to tell truth from fiction, to be able to tell honesty from lies, and to learn how to tell the truth. They want their kids to have a certain amount of restraint and not, you know, like three-year-olds. They want what they want when they want it. They're going to eat what they want, do what they want. There's no structure, no limits, no restraint. And have you ever seen adults like that? Adults who can't restrain themselves, either in the sexual arena, in the business arena, stamping all over other people. We're talking about just basic morality, ladies and gentlemen, and caution. Caution not to jump to conclusions. Here are the seven deadly sins. I looked them up. Pride, greed, wrath, envy, lust, gluttony, and sloth, which apparently are contrary to the seven heavenly virtues. Let's see what those are, if I have them here. I can't, it's not listed exactly. But the seven deadly sins, here's my point. the communist socialist totalitarian left seems to be elevating the very worst in human beings. Tell me where I'm wrong. Call me up. Tell me where I'm wrong. They seem to be making it, giving a green light to the most horrible inclinations of human beings. If I believed in the Christian view of Satan, I'd believe it is purely from the devil to elevate narcissism, to elevate arrogance, contempt and bigotry for others, cowardice, cheating, lying, doing anything you want. Well, I believe that there are very principled atheists in the world. I'm not sure where they got their values, but whatever it is, I've known people who are avowed atheists, and they are not principleless human beings. I'm thinking of one in particular who is just as conservative as I am and happens to be an avowed atheist. I don't have a problem with that because guess what? That's her choice. But she believes in personal responsibility. She believes in holding herself and others accountable. She believes in privacy, those kinds of things. And if I did believe in the devil in the same way, and you know, and I don't believe everything the Jews say either theologically, but it is part of Jewish theology to believe in the evil inclination and the good inclination. So if you want to call it the devil and the angel, you can, but it's just really a different way of looking at it. And it's cool with me because I have lots of very Christian friends who I respect and love. And if you wanted to corrupt human beings and make them hate themselves, make them loathe themselves and everyone else, you would encourage them to do you would encourage them to abandon the most important principles of virtue, like prudence, justice, temperance, not the Women's Christian Temperance Union, but temperance, you know, like, you know, you don't, there's a certain amount of, caution, courage, or fortitude. And then the other virtues, faith, hope, charity, I think came right out of the Christian theology. And I'm glad. But if you wanted to corrupt people, what would you do? You would tell them it's fine to sleep with whomever you want. You would tell them it's fine to lust after everyone else, to expose yourself, to confuse people. It is okay to lie, cheat, and steal, because who's going to catch you? I ask you, have you noticed in your everyday life a loosening of these principles? I hold that at the feet of the rotten to the core pop culture. I don't think all of pop culture is horrible, but I do believe that the culture over a long period of time has been glorifying and elevating the very worst of human beings. Now, I don't expect the pop culture to be the primary conveyor of theology. That's the responsibility of the church and the synagogue and whatever other religious and the family teaching values and principles. But to elevate the very worst of human beings, because if anything else, human beings are capable of astonishing good and astonishing evil. And if you had it in for America, the first thing you'd probably do is to corrupt those values, to break up the family that teaches them, to encourage kids to do anything they want, treat them like adults before they're adults, treat children, treat adults as if they are children, basically turning everything upside down and on its head. That's my point here. I think we are living in times that in which it's the Wild West for arrogant tyrants. How many kinds of tyrants are we seeing now? People who have always been tyrannical, either to their own family or to their own in their own sphere, and now they're being given the green light to go for it, man, to take advantage of whatever authority they have to push other people around. That's the reason we love America, because America was built to prevent this, both in an institutional fashion and to create a civilized society in which the differences of human beings are respected. You may not like it, but guess what? You don't get to force people to do your will. That's called tyranny. And that is what we are fighting, ladies and gentlemen. It is not to call it, oh, it's coronavirus, and oh, this is separate from all of what we are watching is, I'm sorry to say, terribly short-sighted. It all fits together. And this is the first time, interestingly enough, that I've been able to put words to it, to this monologue. I'm going to try to hold and cut this monologue. Mr. Producer, Mr. Doug, I hope that you will. I hope that you will isolate, if you would, please, this monologue, because it's the first time I've been able to put into words what I've been thinking for such a long time. I can't even write about it because it seems rather all-encompassing. And that is, I know I will now that I've talked about it, the fact that the very worst in human nature is being elevated now, and the very best of human nature is being stomped on and rolled over and destroyed. And this, I'm sorry to say, breaks my heart. Now, we're going to talk to someone in just a minute who has shown immense courage, and people are showing immense courage everywhere to stand up against this. And that's what it's going to take for lots of people to stand up against this kind of tyranny and re-educate the tyrants as to who runs and owns America. It ain't them. We're the ones that bring them to the dance, you know? And now they are drunk with power. I don't think they're calling the shots. I think they think they're calling the shots, some of these elected officials and unelected bureaucrats, but I don't really think they're calling the shots. But when you're gullible, when you have weakness, you think somehow that you are calling those shots. So we're going to take a short break so we can get our guest on the line. I'll tell you more about her when we come back. You're listening to Spouting Off on a Friday right before Labor Day. Please tell your friends, share our information with others, and tell them they can call in too. This is Karen Cataline. We'll be right back after this.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at... KSTARRadionetwork.com.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome back to Spouting Off. We're at the bottom of the hour, and I've got a tremendous guest. Let me just give you a little shameless plug here. If you'd like to read what I am writing, just go to www.karencataline.com, and I'm always posting something. Especially, you could get on my newsletter list. Gosh, it would be nice to grow my newsletter a little bit. Aggravate MailChimp. I'm going to try and get off MailChimp and go somewhere else. But until then, I haven't gotten enough newsletter people in order for them to bounce me. That's what they do when conservatives get too big. So help me do that. Only get one newsletter a week. Once in a blue, I'll put up a second one if there's something really hot and breaking news that I have a comment on. But otherwise, you'll just get one email a week. I won't sell your information, that sort of thing. Well, I am delighted to have with us a courageous small business owner and restaurant owner. She owns a restaurant in Weld County called El Charo. Her name is Kelly. She owns it, and her husband is a wonderful cook chef there. Their food is marvelous. I've eaten there way too many times. And I thought it was a good idea to follow up with Kelly, because Kelly was the tall nail about 18 months or so ago when they were bullying in Colorado restaurants, bullying like beyond all reason. And Kelly stood up and has continued to stand up all along. And so welcome, Kelly Shigoya, to the show, the owner of one of the owners of El Charo in Greeley, Colorado.
Well, thank you for having me, Karen. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to spout off.
I love it. And I'm going to give you lots of opportunities. Tell everybody about your restaurant first. So if they're in the area, they can go visit you, support you, and eat your terrific food.
Well, thank you. El Charo has been in Greeley for over 51 years, started by my husband's parents and some of his other family members.
Wow.
And Lou and I took over in somewhere in 96, I believe, and have been running it kind of solely since then. So, you don't last for 51 years unless something's going right, so...
A lot is going right.
I loved
the way people in Greeley supported you during that terrible time. But
yes,
I'm telling you, for those who don't know, they came after you with both barrels. The leftist government, they arrived on your door. They took away your liquor license because you refused to bow. Tell us a little about that, and then you can, you know, we'll have plenty of time to get an update. But tell us what happened back then for people who don't know.
You know, well, like everybody, we thought, well, I guess we better, you know, you're just listening to the news and you think, wow, this is kind of weird. Within about, I don't know, 2 or 3 days, I decided there's something fishy going on here. We did comply for a little while, just doing orders to go. And then eventually, you know, they kept pushing the goalpost back and back. So my husband called our cat. There's two entities that can shut you down, the state liquor board and your county health department. And at one point in time, my husband called the health department and said, when are we going to open back up? And they said, we will not shut you down. And he said, so we can open up. We will not shut you down. And so it was a little bit before Mother's Day, in fact, about 2 or 4 or 5 days before. And I told my son, advertise on Facebook, we're opening up. We'll be open for Mother's Day, and we'll start taking reservations. Believe it, because of the fear and what was going on, nobody would come out. Nobody would really be that supportive. Unbeknownst to me, we were just slammed. And so I had to start gathering people, which was very difficult because most people wanted to stay home on their unemployment. Found a brave gal to work with me, and her and I pushed through that. To the point that we ran out of food on Mother's Day and several other occasions because we were one of the only people open. And in the midst of that, you have some fear because you're not sure what's going on and what's the truth and what's not the truth. And to be quite honest with you, I was serving lunch to a fine group of people one day, just, you know, thinking, oh my, what are we doing? And Karen gave me a call, and she says, Kelly, we have you back. And she says, I do a radio podcast and radio shows, and I've told the entire Denver area to eat at your restaurant. And I believe they did show up.
Maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Okay, Karen, it was very, it was lovely. From the time we had opened our doors, we had a 2-hour wait, if not longer. Oftentimes, like I said, we'd run out of food because we were one
of
the
my husband
only
and I were
open.
There, and we were willing to wait. I remember.
Yeah.
We said, hey, we're going to wait for this food.
Right.
Yeah, we are.
So I just felt like, oh my gosh, somebody out there cares and somebody, you know, believes in us. And I didn't back down. And eventually, yes, the state did step in, came in and made a big scene on it. I believe it was like a Friday night when we were just packed. And the entire restaurant, because I had to go off, I said, when I was talking to the officials that came in, and they were scared to death. They brought a Greeley GPD in, the Greeley Police Department, as an escort, not to take me or haul me away. So anyway, they were serving papers. And I said, you know, I've got to go to the other room. Their waitress has disappeared and they don't know what's going on. So I walked into the other room. And I said, just a blanket announcement, and said, folks, the state's here to take my liquor license. I will be back to serve you momentarily. And that's when the entire restaurant erupted and screamed and hollered. And I mean, they were terrified. Needless to say, they quote unquote took my liquor license, which was illegal because you can't take it unless it's a criminal action, serving minors, over serving.
They were depending on you not knowing anything.
They were wrong. Yeah, exactly. I'm not one of the sheep. I do my research. So took it, and I just, you know, at that point in time, because I'd done so many interviews on, you know, television, radio, whatnot, you know, asking, why are you open? Well, I have bills to pay, and unless the government is going to pay my $1,500 a month for just my health insurance, I have to go back to work. I can't stay home. I don't care what he thinks I am, you know, essential or not. So, anyhow, he took my license illegally, so I just continued to serve alcohol as kind of a quote-unquote illegally, because it wasn't, because I had done nothing criminally wrong. It was a civil matter. And really, truly, folks, $1,000 to a lawyer, they dropped he called the state, they erased the $15,000 fee, gave me my license back, told me to behave, which, you know, that didn't happen. And I haven't heard from him again.
So, well, I mean, what does it really what does no behaving look like from a criminal government? I want to know.
Exactly. Well, apparently, you know, just opening your doors and saying, "Hey, I'm open for business." So
yeah,
that's the criminal action, which was just, you know, as we know, total bull. So, you know, fast forward, we've been, you know, they gave us our license back. We've been plugging along ever since. And still have such great support. I opened my doors to anybody that wanted to have meetings because nobody would allow anybody to gather. Even churches, you know, were saying, no, you can't gather here. I had people with their people's rights meetings. I had people, you know, from free and some other people coming in. You know, if they wanted to gather and have a, you know, what? I don't care what it was. But, you know, they said, oh, 6 is your maximum that you can have at a table. No, I had 20. I had 30. Yeah. I had whatever. I had a wedding party. These poor people had a wedding going on in the middle of this, and they had nowhere for a rehearsal dinner. And guess who had it? I did. And I'm not patting myself on the back, but life needs to go on. I don't care what's out there. Life still has to go on.
Yeah, and, like, did the roof fall in? Did anybody keel over and die? Yes,
nope.
People have died from this virus,
but
those are the same people that die of the flu. We mourn them, but we don't stop
living
because of it. We only stop living when a communist authoritarian government uses it as an excuse to tell us to stop living. And that's
absolutely.
And now we see part two.
Oh, yeah.
Just went, tell us about Jared Polis, the governor that my husband and I fled from. We didn't just flee from him, but we fled my beloved Colorado, born and raised, to live in a free state in Texas, because I don't want to live in a slave state.
No, I don't either. And there's such a double standard with the elite or the government. As much as possible, the Secretary of State is trying to, you know, block any sort of audits that are, you know, election audits. He said, oh, there's not going to be any. I was just kind of poo-pooed and stomped all over it. I mean, it's still going on.
That is true. That is true. I mean, but what happened was, for a while, there was a slight little tiny lull in which it looked as if they were going to give up control. But totalitarians never give up control. So now there's the, quote, Delta variant, which nobody knows. You can't possibly identify because there's no test for a Delta variant. So how do you know anybody has it? Has Polis threatened to shut people down again because of the Delta variant?
Not yet, you know, but it's also the calm before the storm, because I keep hearing they're going to shut down the entire country eventually again. And, you know, it could be anything. And every time I get on anything political, you see the Delta variant. And I wish I could remember what I read last night. It wasn't anything that, it's like the Marquee or the Mars, and something very, that they're going to be throwing at us soon. I've also seen where they're going to be throwing, which is HIV, but, you know, we just keep renaming things. So they're going to rename that like SARS, COVID-22 or something like that, and say, oh, this is all horrible, blah, blah, blah. So you really need to do your research on this stuff when they're throwing it at you, because viruses don't get stronger after they are released in the world. They get weaker. They don't suddenly just gain power and, you know, run out into the world and, you know, massively kill people.
You bring up something really important, Kelly, because when people, smart people who like you, do their own research, but they also think for themselves, they realize that when, it's my favorite phrase of Latin, it's the only Latin I know except for e pluribus unum, but the Latin I know is falsus in uno, falsus in omnibus. Once somebody lies to you, and you know it's a lie, like fascist Fauci lies and lies and lies and lies and lies, then you expect a lie, because you're not going to suddenly get the truth, right?
No, never.
So people are expecting a lot worse because they've seen it. They knew once you got a liar, you don't suddenly, that only abused women, abused people, believe someone who continues to lie and abuse them, right?
Exactly. Yes, I grew up in that, and that's part of what makes me so wide open eyed. Is I did grow up in a household where I had an abusive father that would twist things around, and it's like, no, your reality is not mine, buddy.
Good for you. Let's hold off right there. That's a good place to take a break, because I'm fascinated with what it is that helps people see the truth when everybody else is acting as if the emperor is wearing beautiful threads. So
he's naked.
hold on. Kelly Shigoya. Wonderful. I love talking to you. All right. We'll have more with Kelly right after this. We got to take a short break. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off here on the BBS Radio Network and the K-Star Radio Network and all over the internet on podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to Spouting Off here on the BBS Radio Network and the K-Star Radio Network and all points on your computer. We're talking to Kelly Shigoya, one of the owners of El Charro in Greeley, Colorado, a marvelous Mexican restaurant with a history of more than 50 years of service. When things went, when the government jumped the shark and decided that it could start dictating to people how to run their business and whether they could leave their homes, and we all been living it, it's crazy, Kelly stood up and became the tall nail. She was one of the first people to say, no, I'm not doing that. I've done my research, not doing it. And she has been proven correct that it was a way to control and manipulate and take away our rights.
That's totally right.
When we, right before the break, Kelly, and thank you so much for joining us, for staying with us. We appreciate it. You were talking about when someone has in their own lives been the victim of abuse, control, manipulation, arrogance, the kind of thing that, you mentioned, you can go one of two ways. You can be even more vulnerable or you can get a lot less vulnerable. Talk about your experience and how people can break out of this cult-like feeling that the government knows best, which they don't.
Exactly. Well, number one, you have to inform yourself. I never believed what was being shoved in front of me as a child, you know, in the abuse realm. I knew who I was, and, you know, not that I was perfect at every turn of it. I mean, there are times that you know, I had to cower.
Oops.
But,
hello.
Hello?
I lost you.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Whoops. Hello. Shoot.
Karen?
My
bad.
I jostled something with my elbow.
No worries.
Forgive me. Can you hear me?
No.
I can hear you now.
Yes, I can hear you.
I'm sorry. Okay, go right ahead. Sorry.
Like I said, I don't care if you're a child and you have abuse, and that's very hard because as a child, you're not sure who to turn to. But I never, for whatever reason, God gave me a brain. I never believed what my dad was saying to me, you know, as far as the abusive part. And because he would also say, you can't believe in your government. You know, even my grandparents are like, you got to watch the government every, you know, every stop. Mm-hmm. You can't trust them. And I was even told as far as, you know, when it goes, I couldn't even trust kind of my teachers. You know, if I didn't think they were teaching me something correctly, I would always stand up for myself and say, I don't think so. You know,
good for you.
And so it's just something, you know, within me to do this. Leaders are born, they're not made. And
yes,
I'm not, you know, I'm not going to be a self-proclaimed leader, but that is my mentality. And I got thanked throughout many months of, you know, the horrific pain from other restaurateurs saying, I don't know how you do it. We're too scared, blah, blah, blah. But we want to thank you for standing up. You know, I just have always questioned, like I said, within 2 or 3 days when they first said COVID, we're locking down. And I thought, no, the government's lying to us. So I started diving into research and whatever I could find. And then you find, oh, well, COVID, coronavirus is the flu. Coronavirus is the common cold. Coronavirus is pretty much everything out there. Coronavirus has been around for like 50 billion years. This is not new, people.
Well, I mean, and, you know, there are differences in the part of the way we get controlled and manipulated is the conflict and the overwhelming amount of information in which people sometimes don't know what to believe. I do believe it came out of a Chinese lab.
I do believe
it is likely, although I haven't proven it. I mean, I don't know how to prove it exactly, that it's a bioweapon. What I think is interesting is that they're using it to control and manipulate people when, I hate to say it, they could have unleashed something even worse. So they have a vested interest in keeping the country intact in one form or another, and yet they have no regard for the citizens that live in it.
No.
Your thoughts?
Oh, well, my thoughts exactly. And I think a prime example is how Biden left Afghanistan.
Yes.
Well, you know, the Americans, oh, you know, he's making it clear to the world, we don't care about Americans.
Exactly. I've said that very thing, Kelly.
We don't care if we leave them behind, but we got 125,000 Afghans out. But those poor American families, and we killed some military people, and he doesn't even say I'm sorry to the Gold Star families. Yeah. You know, there's some strong language here I could use, and won't use it. But it horrifies me. But he's signaling to the world, and I will say China, Iran, Iraq, you can do whatever you want to the American people. We don't care anymore. That's what he's saying.
Well,
Obama's
and they're doing
sending
it.
That money. Yes, Obama.
They're
all
doing whatever they want to us, the American people, and this is a symbol of how they feel about us. How could it not be?
Oh yeah, when how you're flooding us with the southern border, you know they're just replacing us. People, wake up! They're replacing us with the ones that won't fight back. That's what they're replacing us with.
I know that I can talk to you about a lot of things apart from restaurants and that sort of thing. Plus, you know, the more I get to know you, the more I see how much we have in common from totally different backgrounds. I mean, I would never think of owning or running a restaurant, never in this lifetime. So I give you a lot of credit.
No worries.
But remember the Charlottesville thing? I know you're really up on a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And they said, you won't replace us. And immediately it was used as a racist thing. They said it was. But in fact, that was another spin. I don't know. I think what am I trying to say here? I think they are trying to replace the population. Let's not go back there because I can't articulate it well. But they are trying to replace the population with people who have never known liberty. Never known freedom.
Exactly.
We have, and I guess the thing that is most impressive and most encouraging, and it's hard to find these days, is that when you did stand up for your restaurant, for your right to make a living, for your right to make decisions about your own restaurant, just like people now are trying to make their own decisions about their own body, for heaven's sake.
Exactly.
It worked at that time. Your resistance, you said, okay, you want to play this game? Okay. I'll and you've been civil, you've been reasonable and respectful, but you've been firm and courageous and gutsy, and now they leave you alone. I'm not saying that will always be the case.
Oh, no, but they'll come after me again, I'm sure.
I think you slowed down the tyranny by fighting back, because the only thing that complying gets you is more tyranny.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know why people ask, why do they leave you alone? And I said, I don't know, but I don't trust it for very long. I just know that when those that do stand up, because that's what they hope, that you don't stand up, that you put on your mask, that you watch the news and you believe everything that you're hearing. Those are the people that they're just counting on to, you know, take us over with. And there's a lot of us out there. I'm pretty sure we're more than 80 million, something like that, whatever voted for Trump.
Well, I don't know, but that. I think, and guess what? The people who are refusing, this is among the many dirty little secrets. There are so many. But the people who are refusing to take the jab are not all Trump supporters, or not all original Trump supporters.
Oh, no.
Many of them are minorities. Many of them are black, who innately have a darn good reason not to have trusted the government.
Oh, yes. I've watched interview after interview with people, minorities, and they have a clear distrust of the government because they've been drowned, you know, because the government always promises something and
they've been burned. And if anybody should know that, it would be the left. I hate to do this, but my God, it's been such a quick half hour.
Oh, my gosh, already, huh?
I'm going to have you back, we'll talk about your restaurant, but I'm going to have you back as somebody who I can, you know, check in with. So, thank you so much, Kelly.
I do so much research. I'd love to share it. Thank you, Karen.
I would love for you to. Just send me an email, and if you've got something you want to talk about, we'll have you on the air. On this show and maybe others, who knows.
All right.
Kelly Shigoya there. Please go, go to her restaurant if you happen to live in the Greeley area. Doug emails me or texts me, we need a T-shirt that reads, we only trust CNN. What? We only trust CNN? What's CNN?
Oh, my God.
No, no, Doug. Nope. I think he's being facetious.
Right.
I have to run. We got to run. Happy Labor Day weekend.
Thanks,
Kelly. You can stay with me as I close the show.
Thank you.
Thanks to the Newsom brothers. That is not Gavin, but Doug and Don Newsom at BBS Radio. And stay strong, stay safe. And I don't mean from the virus. Stay safe from misinformation. And the Hebrew word for strength is chazak. Strength. It sounds like strength, doesn't it, Kelly?
Yeah, it does.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm out of here.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.